From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. As of 2011, more than 13% of Washington State's population was born in another country. How did you come to America? Maybe you waited years to come to the U.S. Maybe you came on a student visa or an H-2A visa or an H-1B visa. Did you come to America without documentation? Share your story with us. I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Hundreds of foreign-born Washingtonians are attending Immigrant Lobby Day at the state capitol in Olympia today, where they're going to be discussing immigration policy with Washington lawmakers. If you were born in another country, how did you get here? Why did you decide to stay? What's it like starting in a new country? And have you gone along that sometimes very difficult and troubled path to citizenship? Give me a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Toll free, 800-289-5869. Write conversation@kuow.org. Yesterday in Tukwila, immigrants from 30 different nations took part in a naturalization ceremony and officially took their oaths of U.S. citizenship. The Conversation's Cameron Drews went down to Tukwila to hear the stories of immigrants from all over the world.
I'm from South Africa.
My name is Pedro and I'm from Mexico.
I'm from India.
I'm from Ukraine originally.
I'm from Philippines.
Kenya is my first home, so it's where my heart is.
We came here like anyone else, trying to find a better life.
I desired to have a brighter future for my own and for my children.
One of the biggest barriers I faced was a language barrier. You know, when you're going to school learning English, but then you're going home and only speaking Spanish.
I came here when I was young, and adjusting to like different food, different people, different language.
But in the end, growing up as a kid in this country, you know, you begin to feel that you're just like any other kid. You're an American.
What is your coming to America story? 206-543-5869. Did you come here with documentation? Maybe you didn't. 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Taking that oath of citizenship is a huge milestone for immigrants. And this week, Northwest News Network's Jessica Robinson attended a naturalization ceremony over in Spokane and found that gaining U.S. citizenship can be fairly easy compared to getting permanent residency in the first place. She spoke to Ari Alvarez, who moved his family to the U.S. from Argentina.
We had to hire, actually, we didn't even go alone. We hired attorneys, and the company I work for hired a firm to make sure there was no problems going through the process. At some point, I had to leave the country. I had to go to Canada, for example, to get a visa stamp on my passport so I could get back.
How did you come to America? Jessica also talked to a woman from India who had to give up her citizenship there. She couldn't keep dual citizenship to become a citizen here. Maybe that's something you face. 206-543-5869. We got a lot of reaction to this on our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation, when we ask, what was your path to U.S. citizenship? Christopher wrote, mostly painless. I'm English and found that I was, fortunately for me, the right type of immigrant. Jenny wrote, 22 years later, still a frustrating work in progress. Zeki wrote, my parents and I waited for 12 years for green cards, and 6 years after that, we met all the requirements, passed the citizenship test, and voila. Both Angela and Rebecca reflected on the cost. Angela wrote, it was expensive. I was one of those back in 2007 who paid $23 for an overnight delivery so I could just pay $400 instead of $700. They were changing the fees at the time. She writes, in the ceremony, it was just me and my boyfriend, and there was some speech making. The one I liked the most was the one that encouraged us to vote. And Rebecca echoes that. She says, it was expensive to become a citizen. Cost us a fortune to get green cards. U.S. lawyers are not cheap. I'm still a permanent resident. Don't have it in my budget to become a citizen just yet. Tell us your coming to America story. Maybe you've made it to citizenship, but maybe you have not. 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Elma Kasauna works with the Seattle Globalist. It's a Northwest International Community blog. Elma, thanks for talking to us today.
Hello.
I understand you spent half your life in Jordan and half your life here in the United States. Tell us a little bit about your story of coming to America.
Well, mine is somewhat similar to the English person who said he was the right kind of immigrant, in the sense that I am a privileged person of education. I have a very well-educated family that was sought after by the U.S. government to immigrate to the United States. So we came, both my mother and I, as students. She was seeking her second doctorate, and I was starting my undergrad. And so it was a very easy process, because also we have a family member who's an immigration lawyer, so we didn't have to deal with the costs that others have mentioned on the Facebook page. Okay. And I spend most of my time in the U.S. as a student, and then my breaks or the time in between my degrees, I go back to Jordan, which is where my family lives, and my mother has gone back.
Well, that's a couple of great advantages, having a lawyer in the family and also having an education. As you say, that gave you an advantage. How about coming from Jordan? Some countries are more favorable to come into the U.S. from. Was Jordan one of them?
Yes, for sure. I mean, the U.S.-Jordan relationships are historically quite incredible, and we are I believe that it's about a quarter of all Jordanians have dual citizenship between Jordan and the United States. So it's a very, very favored relationship, and therefore that process of immigration also was not that difficult. The other is, we also have quite an access to information. Now the government is censoring the internet in Jordan, but until the time I immigrated, we could have whatever access that was available worldwide. So English was a language that we all learn in school. Television is very readily available. So culturally, there were things that were very easy to get used to and be a part of, just because of the globalization of U.S. culture. For me, the most difficult part was the size of things. I couldn't believe, and I still can't believe, the amount of food we get in restaurants.
The big gulp.
Yes, it's a very interesting reaction. I had a hard time with very basic names like John. I would say John, and I would be told that somebody's name is John. I couldn't figure out what that name was.
Costco must have freaked you out, Alma, the first time you went to Costco, if the large size of things was intimidating.
Yeah, I did not go to Costco until about 15 years later. Huh. Yeah, I still have a very difficult time, even with much simpler things, buying bread, for example, or buying cereal. Every time I went to go and buy cereal, until now, I've been in this country for about 20 years, and I still cannot believe the amount of non-option options that we are given in the supermarket. You go, and there are all these kinds of cereal, and all you want is just cereal. And I often leave without cereal or the same kind of cereal that I bought the time before, just because I can't make right from left with all these different kinds of options.
Elma, thank you so much for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
Elma Kasauna works with the Seattle Globalist, a Northwest International Community blog. So she was telling us, for her, kind of relatively easy, but still there are things about her new country that baffle her. The cereal selections in grocery stores, 206-543-5869. If you just tuned in, you know, immigration is the discussion that's going on now in the other Washington. So we were curious about those of you who have already come to the United States, perhaps documented, perhaps undocumented, perhaps you're working on citizenship, perhaps you've already achieved citizenship. Tell us your story, 206-543-5869. Let's go to Hussein, who's listening to us today, and he's calling us from West Seattle. Hussein, thanks for taking the time. I understand you came from Somalia, right?
Yes, I'm from Somalia, and my name is Hassan. And first of all, I want to say thanks to United States government, because I'm here because of United States government. They helped me here, and I came here as a refugee legally. And I'm a United States citizen right now. I'm so happy to live here, and I'm so proud of being in the United States, and I'm so proud of being a United States citizen.
Now, how did the United States help you as a Somalian, Hassan, to come to the U.S.? What did they do for you?
I was in a refugee camp in Kenya. I fled from my country, which is Somalia. I fled to Kenya. I lived in Kenya in a refugee camp as a refugee for 15 years. Then after that, I got a chance to come to United States through United Nations. And when I came to United States, and I really like United States, and they helped me when I came here the first 3 months. They showed me everything. And I love the people. I love this country. I love the constitution of this country. And I love Seattle, and I'm so happy to live here. I wish I give something back to this country. I wish I have enough money to give back to this country. You know what I mean?
Samana, I'm so happy for you that you've had such a good time, that it's been so good for you to come to the United States. And I really appreciate you telling us a little bit about your story. Thanks very much. Hassan from Somalia. We heard from Alma from Jordan. Let's turn to Paul. He's calling us today from Bellevue. And Paul, I understand you came here from Australia. Is that right?
I very much did, yeah, about 13 years ago. And I got to agree with the last two callers. It's a great country, even though it's mind-numbingly politically a basket case. And when I say Paul, people say, what? So I've got to say Paul. So people still, you know, even
flatten out those vowels.
Paul, yeah.
So yeah, how hard was it to come here from Australia?
Well, it was difficult. I married an American citizen, and you know, I had to come here, and then I had to go back to Australia to the embassy, and then I had to get a green card issued and the whole bit. It took a while, but fairly efficient. It was the INS net, at that stage, and they were good, actually. They were very helpful. It all went very well. And I've succeeded since coming here. So I just had a film at Sundance, and it won its section. And I don't think I could have done that in any other country in the world, even my home country.
What was the film, Paul?
It was This Is Martin Bonner. And it won the next section.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. You know, and I really love this country. Honestly, to succeed here, it's like they say, you know, just work at it and keep going, and this is the place to be for sure.
Hey, Paul, thanks for telling us about your story. Let's go to Skyway next, where we have Pedro on the line. Pedro, thanks so much for taking the time this afternoon to give us a call. I understand you've come here from Mexico.
Yes, sir. I was brought here as a young child when I was about 3 or 4 years old. So I practically grew up here my whole life in this country. I think the Mexican experience is a little bit unique in that a lot of us have been here our whole lives. So we feel American, but at the same time, we never feel like we've been accepted as part of the American culture, if there is one. You know, I grew up working in the fields my whole life. My parents are law-abiding citizens, but still it was very, very difficult to become to gain legal residency and then the citizenship. We faced the language barrier. We faced, a bunch of other things that most immigrants face. But in the end, we did it. We were able to obtain residency and citizenship, but still, there's a lot of people that have grown up like myself that are part of this country, and that's what we're facing right now with the immigration reforms, trying to take care of these people because we are all part of this country in one way or another. You know, we've all contributed.
Pedro, having gone through it yourself, give me an example of one thing that you think could be changed in the way that immigrants come to the United States that would make the system a better system, maybe a fairer system.
I think I'm pretty sure a lot of people aren't familiar with this, but they have certain quotas for each country. For the Mexican country, I mean, they only let a very small amount of Mexicans come in legally. And to get here legally, it's going to take you about 20 years. So as a Mexican, so that's something that needs to change. I think it's making it easier to come here legally, and then we wouldn't have this issue because, you know, everybody comes to this country for one reason, and that's to to reach that American dream and live a better life. And 20 years isn't making it easier. So you're going to, you know, when you have kids that you want to give a better life to, you're going to do whatever you have to do, you know. So I think that would probably be the biggest factor that needs to change, is figuring out a way to make it easier to come here.
Yeah. Hey, Pedro, thanks a lot for your call. Let's go to Redmond next, where we have Joyce on the line. Joyce, I understand you came here from China back in 1988?
Yes, correct. I want to tell the world, the country, about the next generation of immigrants. Not only I thrive in this country because I have access to public library in America. Maybe a lot of Americans don't know. People from, you know, like me, come from different countries. We didn't have the access to library, public library, and I learned my English, and there's so many resources providing to immigrants nowadays. And also, because library is important to my life, I brought my children very early on to listen to stories, to borrow books. So if you look around, you know, since I live in Redmond, a lot of immigrants are living here, working for Microsoft and many companies. Children from immigrant families, they are doing so very well because parents have high expectations for them. They come from, you know, most of the Spanish countries. So they really encourage children to do well and become contributing members of society. So when we're talking about the problem facing immigrants, we really should look at the contribution of this generation of, you know, of the immigrants' children contributing to this country.
Joyce, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Let's go for our final call to Juan Villegas, who's calling us today from Olympia. He's at that immigrant lobby day that's going on down there. He was born in Mexico. He moved here when he was 6 years old. And just the other day, Juan, I understand you got your deferred action status. What does that mean?
Deferred action is something that Obama decided to do that grants undocumented students. And just in general, it grants them a work permit for 2 years, and it's renewable. It also, they're immune to deportation, which is a big thing that kind of takes you back, scares you, and you don't focus on school as well. So that is definitely a huge amount of help, because you feel like you're an American more now, even though that work permit only allows you to work. It doesn't give you any legal status, which is what we're fighting for still.
Your goal is to become a citizen, Juan?
Yes. Goal is to become a citizen and give back to my home, what I call my home, give back to the United States what it gave me.
Juan, thank you so much for calling. Thanks to all of you for calling. At our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation, you can see what other people have written, including this from John, who wrote about coming to the United States. Well, the first 9 months were pretty rough, but then when that doctor slapped my butt, it was like he was saying welcome. Took me about 3 years to learn English. Thanks for asking. To share your experience about coming to the United States at KUOW's The Conversation on Facebook. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.